The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy, Medicine, and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned in to Energy, Medicine, Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. Remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you think, how you feel, and how you live your life. Energy is all there is. The topic today is yin and yang energy balance. A core foundation of energy is the distinction and paradox between yin and yang. In traditional Chinese medicine, every whole is comprised of two opposing but equally essential energies. For the whole to exist and function optimally, yin and yang need to be in dynamic balance, supporting each other. Yin is associated with the feminine principle, slow, soft, diffuse, tranquil, yielding, and inward energy. Yang is associated with the masculine, fast, hard, focused, active, outward, and assertive. Yin energy emphasizes heart energies. Yang emphasizes mental energies. Although men have more yang and women have more yin energies, everyone has both. Both energies are essential to the balance and harmony in our energy systems and the world. Heart wisdom is undervalued in our patriarchal society. Our culture, with an age-old yang imbalance, deems it as normal. Equalizing yin and yang by living from our minds in balance with living from our hearts will shift the world toward peace and harmony. I am happy to be able to introduce you to our guest today, Vicki Matthews. Vicki Matthews is a naturopathic physician and master herbalist with a BA in psychology and MBA in consumer behavior from the University of Chicago. Vicki was the founding director of the Eden Energy Medicine Certification Program, and she wrote the whole curriculum. Vicki is focused on integrative health in teaching and private practice. In 2011, Vicki returned to InnerSource as the director of education. As a specialist in the five-element theory and the yin-yang model from Chinese medicine, Vicki has pioneered their use in balancing individuals and their relationships. Passionate about reestablishing balance in the world and advocating alternative healing and spiritual pursuits, Vicki appeared twice on The Oprah Winfrey Show. Vicki was also a contributor and editor of The Philosopher's Stone, a spiritual and philosophic inquiry journal. Recently, Vicki authored The Goddess Letters to Address Imbalances in Our Patriarchal Culture. To find out more about her book, you can go to www.thegoddessletters.com. And to find out more about Vicki, you can go to www.vickimatthews.com, and that's VickiMatthews. Welcome, Vicki.
Well, Anne, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, we are certainly lucky to have you here. So I thought we would just start with asking how you, so you can tell the audience how you discovered energy medicine and how that has transformed your life.
Oh, well, it certainly has transformed my life. I would say I discovered energy medicine probably about 20 years ago, maybe 15. And I had, as a naturopath, I had a naturopathic practice. I have a background in counseling. So I was kind of working lots of different pieces of the body. But I went to a lecture, not with Donna, on energy medicine and using energy as a tool, and it seemed to be the missing piece for what I was doing in my practice. So I worked privately with a woman who really did a lot of the same types of energy medicine as Donna. And probably 6 months after working with her, she called me and she said, you know that textbook I never could give you? Well, I found a book that has everything I've taught you. It's called Energy Medicine. It's by Donna Eden. So I got the book. I read the book. It's like, whoa, I like the way she presents this much better than the woman I studied with. So I went to a 5-day with Donna and David and kind of knew a lot of it already. And Donna and I hit it off, and I was a TA for her within 6 months. And then kind of traveled around. I went to every 5-day Donna did. I mean, I think I went to like 10 or 12 of them in a row, because every time it's a little different. She'll say something a little differently or present some a little twist on something. And back and forth, people were talking about the need for some kind of a certification program. And I remember I was in a cab with Donna and David once, and I said, I really think this is a good idea, you guys. I think you're missing an opportunity here. And David said, okay, put something together. That was that.
Wow.
You know, like put an outline together. And I'd actually been teaching at a local college. I taught herbal medicine, and I also taught a class I called Energy Anatomy. And I used, of course, Donna's book as the textbook for it. And I took my 8-week course outline and brought that to David. And he said, wow. And that even now is pretty much the basis of the certification program.
Wow, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Really,
it certainly evolved. It certainly evolved. And the 4 years that Veronica was working with the CP, she made some incredible improvements in it too. So it's definitely different this time around than it was when we started it 7 or 8 years ago.
Well, always improving and always evolving. That's we have to be open. That's what the whole world needs right now.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to discuss your new book, The Goddess Letters. And okay. Although this is a novel, it is about the imbalance of yin and yang energy in the world. So why don't we start discussing what is meant in more depth about yin and yang energy?
Well, you did a brilliant job of introducing the topic. It really is about two parts that make up a whole. And in fact, in ancient Chinese philosophy, they start with the whole, the one, the unknown, the all, and say that that can be understood by looking at the two pieces that always make it up. That would be the yin and the yang pieces. And so you then have this model, if you will, of ways of looking at aspects of any whole. And that's whether you're talking about a whole cookie, a whole universe, a whole organization, there will always be yin aspects to it and yang aspects to it. And they're pretty characteristic, and that gives us a way to understand them better.
And that's so true with a lot of things in life, light and dark, rich and poor,
right?
Cold and
hot, and up and down, and in and out, and pretty much any of the polar opposites that we learned as children, those will fall into either a yin category or a yang category.
Well, that's great. And, you know, a lot of people know that symbol, the yin-yang symbol, which is really illustrates the state of yin non-balance.
Yes.
And
that's called the Tajitu. And it is meant to be a symbol. What it doesn't allow you to do, because we're usually looking at this symbol in two dimensions on a piece of paper, and we see the black half that's, you know, separated by from the white half by a swirl, and there's a little dot of black in the white and a little dot of the white in the black, and that is showing the two halves. And we can talk forever about the aspects of what yin is, that would be the black part of the circle, and what yang is, that would be the white part of the circle. But it's really doesn't do justice to the core of yin and yang and that whole model, and that's the relationship between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate you can't get that in a two-dimensional drawing.
That's true. Well, I did a little bit of research on this, and the symbol, the fact that it's a swirl, it's really a measurement of the length of the shadow from the sun throughout the year.
Absolutely.
So the smallest shadow is on the day of the summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And the largest shadow is on the day of the winter solstice.
Correct.
Yeah. So that swirl is actually a scientific measurement of the amount of sun or the amount of moon.
Right. And it's a track, if you will.
Right.
Of the shadow. And it is a representation of nature.
Right. And that's what I love about the Chinese. They really define everything in terms of what they see in nature, what's a mm-hmm. natural phenomenon.
It is.
And I think our Western culture has gotten so far away from mm-hmm. the basics and from nature.
Mm-hmm. And that is a manifestation of a patriarchy.
Oh, great. So we're going to get into this in the discussion. So let me just say that we want to achieve this yin-yang balance because it helps us to stay healthy, happy, and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. That is true. The more balanced we are, the better everything in us functions, whether you're talking about our brain, our energies, our physical body. We are built on balance. And that, again, is a key aspect of symbology behind the yin and yang, is that sense of interrelated dynamic balance.
Okay, so let's talk about the yang and the yin in balance, or should I say yang dominance in the world.
Yes.
So you started talking about some examples.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you highlighted in the beginning, there are very different approaches to living based on whether you're living in a yin way or a yang way. And for a yang culture, which a patriarchy by definition is a culture where men have more power in the culture than women do, materialism, for example, the material world is very important to yang. Outward manifestation, manifest destiny, those are all yang aspects. And we care less about the yin aspects, which is more inner exploration, the importance of groups. Yang emphasizes the importance of the individual, whereas yin will emphasize the importance of groups. So yang is much more linear. It's logical. It's rational. As you said, it is governed by the head, the brain, thought, what I think, how the best way, optimal, winning. Those are all really important attributes of the yang, and therefore manifest as the masculine principle, and therefore are kind of accepted as normal in a patriarchy. I mean, we almost don't see the water in which we swim sometimes to accept what we think is normal. We think it's normal to want to win. We think that's very normal. And in fact, that's a normal attribute of a patriarchy. It's not a normal attribute of the human being.
Wow. Yeah, we're really off kilter.
Yes, we are. And I think part of that goes back to how yin and yang balance each other, because inherent in that relationship is they're like a check and balance for each other. Because if you think about yin and yang, We know from what we're taught that yin creates yang, yang creates yin, yin can destroy yang, yang can destroy yin. They're created in one moment. They are two sides of the same coin. And in fact, whether you talk about yin and yang or whether you talk about opposites, you can't describe dark without saying it's an absence of light. You can't describe light without somehow referencing there's no darkness. So it's almost impossible to know yin and yang alone. You have to know them together and how they relate. But what the brilliance of the model, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that it's not static. It's always interacting. So that little drawing we have that shows half and half, really, no whole is ever precisely half yin and half yang. There will be times there will be greater amounts of yin in any whole, and there will be times there will be greater amounts of yang in any whole. But what's supposed to happen is there's a fluidity between the two, so that it's almost like a rhythmic pulsing. There'll be more of one, then it'll fade out and be more of the other. And it just, that keeps the vitality and the balance dynamic, not static and stuck. We know from energy medicine, you don't want static or stuck energy. Energy of that kind is toxic, so it always needs to move. And that's inherent in the model of yin and yang. You need movement. So it's a movement between yin and yang, one being a little more dominant, the next being a little more dominant. But what happens, and I think what has happened in our patriarchy, and that we've been stuck in patriarchy for over 3,000 years, is that the inherent tendency of the masculine principle of yang is to be aggressive, assertive, and manifest outward. The tendency of the feminine principle is more an inner directedness, an emphasis on relationship, that kind of a thing. So it's not easy for the singular yin in our culture to balance the singular yang because our whole culture supports yang. I mean, think about it. Think about it in the 13th, 14th, 15th centuries. If you talked about inner guidance, you were burned at the stake. You know, there was not a lot there to support what would be the natural manifestation of yin in a feminine person.
Yeah, so it was really hidden.
It was beaten out of us in many ways, or at least dismissed. I mean, it depends. You know, in our world, which is very driven by corporations and success, success is it. And we define success in material ways, not, gee, I had the most amazing meditation yesterday.
Right.
Or, you know, I spent an hour by the lake. In a really harsh patriarchy, unfortunately, we don't have that in Eden Energy Medicine, but in our culture at large, if you talk about taking an hour or a day to go spend it by the lake communing with nature, people are going to think you're a slug.
Well, I think it's a little bit changing, though.
Oh, it is. It absolutely
is. So I know we'll get to that. But yeah, but I understand the whole concept. Yeah, definitely. That it was beaten out of us, the yin and the heart.
And it's just not valued. At the worst, it was beaten out of it and dismissed. At the least worst, it's not valued. It's not something, you know, nobody grows up and say, gee, I want to be quiet and alone. I mean, people raise their eyebrows at you.
Well, yeah, but let's talk about being a mother.
Yes, being a mother is where the yin principle comes to the fore, and it's hormonally driven, and that's fine.
And it's valued in that, but that small segment.
It is valued, and it's becoming more valued. We went through a period in the 50s where it was very valued, but then as women, rightly so, struggled for some sense of equality, there was a period of time in the 60s and the 70s and even a little bit of the 80s where it was dismissed again. It was like, well, you're going to be just a housewife? I mean, really, why aren't you going to go and be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever? So we go in cycles, little mini cycles in our culture. But unfortunately, always the drumbeat, and even now, still is the idea of outward manifestation, materialism. Success is usually valued by money. Largeness of houses or cars. And again, that's changing. And there's a growing section of our culture that is stepping away from that. But the vast majority of our culture still thinks that's normal.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back from a commercial.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network. Each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are discussing yin and yang energy balance with Vicki Matthews, author of a new book called The Goddess Letters. Okay, Vicki, so let's talk a little bit more about yin and yang balance in terms of our need or our strive for balance in the world. We really want it for optimal health and wellness. We really want balance and support in our bodies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are, because we talked earlier that every whole is made up of a yin and a yang, our body as a whole has yin and yang aspects. And the two most major ones are that the front of the body is considered yin, the back of the body is yang, the right of the body is yang, the left of the body is yin. So we want all those systems to be integrated and functioning as a whole, not one side not knowing what the other side is doing.
Absolutely. And even there are yin and yang chakras.
Absolutely. And aspects of the meridians.
Yeah.
If you think about the meridian system, that's the easiest to see it on, because there is for every yin meridian, there is a yang meridian. For every yang meridian, there's a yin meridian. So they're perfectly paired. And that is designed to give us balance. So if you want to look at, you know, working with five elements, which of course I love to do, every element has paired meridians in it. And one of those meridians is a yin and one of them is a yang. And what's really interesting is they're designed to be kept in balance. There's actually something I talked about in a class I just gave. There's actually points on each meridian that allow them to balance their energies between themselves. So there's always ways designed in nature to seek out that balance. But unfortunately, that sometimes doesn't work. It isn't enough. We get so out of balance that we have to actually intervene to help our body or our meridians or whatever part we're talking about come back to balance.
Mm. And those points you're talking about are the passage points or loop
Correct.
Points, right?
They're called the low points.
Yeah.
Donna Eden in her work calls them passage points. They've been used for a long time in Chinese medicine to balance the paired meridians. For example, if you want to talk about water element, the two meridians that sit in there are kidney meridian and bladder meridian. In Chinese tradition, those are called the husband-wife pair. The yin meridian, which would be the kidney meridian, is considered the wife, and the yang meridian, which would be bladder meridian, is considered the husband. And there needs to be an equal functioning and balance of energy in those meridians for the whole water element and everything the water element is responsible for. Our teeth, our bones, moving fluids, all of that functions better if both the yin and the yang meridian in that element are balanced.
Absolutely. And actually, I was at your class.
Good.
At IGEM on the past points, and I found out that that water imbalance in the passage point. So I've been holding my passage points, my
your water
bladder and my kidney passage
Perfect.
Points every day since.
Perfect. Perfect. And that's a wonderful way to bring a state of balance to those meridians and then to that element.
Yes, absolutely. And actually you can feel the calming effect when
yes.
you hold these points.
Yes, especially because it's not uncommon in our culture for the balance to skew to too much energy in the yang meridian and not enough energy in the yin meridian. And that's not an ironclad rule of thumb, but it's a pretty strong tendency. So if we think about the bladder meridian governs our nervous system. And if there's more energy than we need in bladder, we can manifest nervousness or a little antsiness, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and bringing in more kidney energy helps balance that out.
Yeah, and I think that also in a yang society, when we're really living from our head or from our brain or mind, whatever
yes.
you want to call it, we would have the tendency to have more energy in the bladder meridian than the kidney
yes.
meridian.
Yes, absolutely. And what that's very sad, because the kidney meridian is one of the two main meridians responsible for our vitality. The other meridian is spleen, which is also a yin meridian. So try as we might, if we don't have balance in the yin meridians, we're not going to be vital.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially kidney, when we get the energy from the earth first through our kidney meridian, if we don't have enough energy there, it could
absolutely
sacrifice energy getting all the way to our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a wonderful protocol called Vortex Revival, which I'm using more and more, I find.
Mm-hmm. It's a great protocol.
Yeah, to strengthen that yin energy into our bodies and make sure it goes all the way up.
And actually moves very thoroughly through all of our being. And then, of course, is moving through our meridian system as well, because energy moving into kidney moves into all the other meridians. So it's,
right,
it's a very important technique.
Yes, and I also want to mention those passage points, which I think, you know, I just discovered them just a few months ago when in year three, when you were demonstrating a session with somebody that had breast cancer, if you remember.
Right, I do.
And you found out that there was an imbalance between her spleen and stomach, which is on the earth element.
Correct.
And you told her to balance those passage points or hold those passage points for a year, which I was a little shocked.
Okay, that's a little dramatic, but just let's assure people, normally one does not need to hold the points every day for a year. But one of the things that happens with cancer, especially breast cancer, is that there's a real inherent weakness in spleen meridian. And as we teach in Eden Energy Medicine, the polar opposites, if you will, across the 24-hour wheel are spleen and triple warmer. And that is a very obvious place to look when there isn't enough energy in spleen. We are trained to go check out triple warmer and assume, again, in a very active, loud culture, triple warmer will probably be over-energized, robbing energy from spleen. But another important place to look when you don't have enough energy in spleen is stomach meridian, because that's, again, that's the pair that the two of them sit in, earth element. And that's where the passage points are so brilliant, is that you don't need to sedate stomach and then strengthen spleen. What you really need to do is move the energy out of stomach, keep it in earth, and move it into spleen. And that's what those passage points are so brilliant at. By the time someone is ill enough to manifest cancer, especially breast cancer, you can bet that imbalance has been off for quite a long time. Hence my recommendation to her that she spend a year really reinforcing that pattern, so that, because we know energy is trainable and can be repatterned, her body begins to believe that the normal is really an equibalance between spleen and stomach energies, not the imbalance that's probably been there for a long time that the body may even think is normal and to be expected.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing about energy. Even though it is not the preferred balance that we want, it establishes a balance because, I guess, we're surviving.
We're surviving, and it thinks we need it. And we also have a mechanism that we go. It's again, it's like we were discussing with yin and yang. Nothing is static. There will be times we need more energy in stomach meridian. There'll be time we need more energy in spleen. It's not that we expect them to always be perfect and never moving in terms of the dance of energy between them. But again, it's not uncommon in our culture for energy to hang out more in the yang meridians than in the yin, and after a while, our body perceives that is normal. It accepts it as a habit and a pattern that's the correct pattern. So then we have to go in and repattern it to get more energy going on a regular basis, in this example, in spleen.
Yeah, and I just want to remind everybody that we talk about this often, is that we hold these points, and that's because we can, as practitioners, what we do is we just create like a circuit between these two points, and allowing that connection is an invitation for balance in the system. The energies know what to do when we hold these specific points.
Mm-hmm. They're like a shortcut. They're like a memo that says, okay, just like, for example, in acupuncture, there's certain specific patterns that different points are needled in a particular way that they know after, you know, thousands and thousands of years that it creates this kind of an energy flow. With our strengthening and sedating points, we know that holding these two points at the same time moves energy out of one meridian into another. And then with passage points, we know it's specifically moving it out of stomach into spleen. For example, if stomach is over-energized and spleen is under-energized.
And, of course, we test for that before and after that treatment.
Absolutely. We are test fanatics.
But that's what makes this modality very different from a lot of the other energy modalities.
Yes. We're little scientists in so many ways in this modality. We search out what's not working. We create hypotheses for why it's not working. We test different ways to try and rebalance and correct the imbalance that's there. We are very, very, very scientific.
Yes. I love that part about it.
Yes. But we also have the heart that goes with it. This is a very, very caring and compassionate field.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, we're really strengthening the yin in the world. Okay, let's start talking about the book.
Okay.
I'm really fascinated that you wrote a novel about Sun Yang.
Well, I tell my friends that if the book sells well, I will look very brilliant, because people that would not necessarily read a nonfiction discussion of yin and yang will be reading it and be introduced to concepts that they might not otherwise be introduced to. If it doesn't sell well, I'll look pretty stupid.
I doubt that.
Well, it was a calculated risk. It was a calculated risk, but I am hoping it pays off, because we do need everybody to understand that there is a balance that is missing in our world, and that we all are responsible for helping bring that balance back. It's not any one person. It's not a government. It's not a bank. It's not anybody. It's the people of our planet stepping up and saying, oh, we have a problem. I mean, oh my gosh, look around. I mean, that was something at IGEM that was a topic for many of the speakers, is we are a planet in crisis. And I loved what Bruce Lipton said. It's not really the planet that's in trouble. It's human beings that are in trouble. Mm-hmm. The planet will survive without humans very, very nicely. But humans may create a situation where we are no longer able to survive based on the changes that are being manifested in our planet, because we are so out of balance.
Right. And, you know, and that's what evolution's all about. What's surviving
right
in the environment at the time. And yeah, we're causing ourselves to be extinct if we don't make the changes we need to make.
We are absolutely causing ourselves to be extinct. And we don't see that, because we don't think of nature. The average person does not think of nature as a consciousness, as something to be considered and cared about on this planet. For a great long time, probably for at least 2,000 years, nature has been a commodity that, you know, cut down this tree, cut down that tree, it doesn't matter, and not taking into account the effect on the ecology as a whole when these things are done.
So, yeah. This is all available for us. These are all resources for us.
Right.
And
it's not. We do have to be mindful of how we interact with nature, and we haven't been. And we are basically seeing the result of thousands of years of humanity not caring. I mean, we create as one species. We're one of 100 million species that exist on this planet, and we create all of the pollution. 100% of the pollution comes from humans.
Yeah. And one shocking thing that Dr. Lipton talked about is that in 30 years, there may be no fish.
I know.
That's in our lifetime.
I know. It's scary. And you go back to the Native American Indians, who had a visionary goal of what will this mean for the seventh generation? Not what will this mean for me, but what will it mean for my children, 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 children? And that's a scope of vision that we, by and large, don't have. We really don't. And I think that's something that is very important. It's something that's touched on quite a bit in my book, the need for us to bring that balance back so that we all survive.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So first of all, let's talk about the novel part of the book.
Novel part of the book is boy meet girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. But that's a spoiler alert. Sorry. It's about two people that meet while they're in college and develop a relationship, and through a series of unfortunate situations end up apart, and they correspond for going on 20 years. and stay active in each other's lives unbeknownst to anybody else. They have this secret correspondence, and you kind of see their life unfold through their letters. And it's actually her letters to him, and he kind of narrates the book. So it's really the male is the protagonist in this, and he undergoes an incredible path of change. He starts an atheist and has to come to grips with there possibly being something larger than himself and his mind at work in the world. And so they kind of witness each other's growth and changes.
Sounds brilliant.
It's fun. You know, I really like the book. I actually, it was very hard when I was doing the final proofing because I kept getting caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I've had a lot of my friends that are reading it have said, oh my gosh, I couldn't put it down. I mean, I just kept thinking, one more chapter, which of course does any author's heart good to hear that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. What are ways that we see yang in balance in our culture that you think that we can change?
Okay. I think first and foremost, we have to see nature as sacred. We have to see that everything holds a place in the universe. And we don't see that now. We see the financial ramifications of almost everything. Economics is a very big piece of what drives our planet right now. And unfortunately, interestingly, in my book, the man is an economist. So you get that whole piece of what he brings. But I think we need to step away from what is for any individual's good and who can make money by killing a tiger and selling it, or, you know, cutting down more trees in the Amazon and killing species right and left because of that, and start looking at what is for the greater good, not of our country, but of our planet. I think we have to look at the planet as a whole, and we have to think and believe and realize that what happens over in the Amazon absolutely affects what happens on the Mississippi River.
Mm.
We don't have that kind of global consciousness because a patriarchy tends to say everyone for themselves. It's about the rights of the individual. We don't make what is for the greatest good the top priority. So I think that's one of the first ways we really need to change, is we need to see that we are all citizens with nature and all of the beings of nature. We are citizens on this planet, and everybody's well-being, the greatest good for everybody, needs to be taken into account. And I'm not saying that I have any right one way to do that. I'm just talking about a shift in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now we are a patriarchy, is one of the hallmarks of a patriarchy is materialism, and everybody's right to get more and to go for the brass ring and, you know, whatever else, however else you want to language it. We have had cultures on our planet in ancient pasts where they were much more balanced. One of the examples that I use in the book is the culture of Minoan Crete, which existed 5,000 years ago. But it was probably the most socially advanced culture that's ever been on this planet. There was no poverty for thousands of years. There was no war. There was equality. They had happy lives. There were no huge houses and tiny hovels. It was just a very nice, equal place that had a very strong emphasis on nature, the value of nature, the importance of nature. And interestingly, the deity in Minoan Crete was a goddess.
Mm.
So I think that's something that I do try and bring out in the book. I'm not in any way bashing anybody's religion, but it is very easy to see how when 53% of the world are involved in religions that say the divinity is a single male god, masculine principles tend to be valued more than feminine principles. And I think in cultures where either the divinity was a female divinity, or cultures where there were both, aspects of femininity become highly valued, at least equally valued. So that, I think, is something. I'm not saying we all have to go be goddess worshippers. I'm not saying that, but that we have had cultures in thousands and thousands of years ago where women were honored. Women, you know, it's only in 1920 that women were considered equal enough to vote.
Yeah.
Scary. Women in ancient Egypt had more rights than women had in the United States until the 1900s.
Wow.
It's a time that and that women in ancient Egypt could hold property, they could marry, they could divorce, they could be involved in civic aspects. I mean, you know, it wasn't quite as equal as it was in Minoan Crete, but it's still we continue to get worse and worse and worse in terms of valuing the feminine principle, which, as you rightly pointed out, everybody has both. Women may manifest more of it, and we certainly carry more yin energy than men do, but men have a yin principle and a yang principle just like women do. So it's not man against woman, and I make a big point of that in my book. It is about embracing aspects of both and bringing both to balance.
Absolutely, and we're overdue for a commercial, so we'll be right back.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
Get the latest information in health and wellness when you tune into On the Radio with Dr. Ray. Each week, you'll find out the latest and greatest from both traditional and holistic perspectives. Your host, Dr. Robert Ray, better known as Dr. 90210, is the best known and most sought after plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. Dr. Ray, with his co-host, Natalie Day, will help you get the dream body you've always wanted through diet and exercise, not surgery and medicine. On the Radio with Dr. Ray airs live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You have tuned in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And we are talking with Vicki Matthews, who is an expert in yin and yang energy balance and has just written a book called The Goddess Letters, which I'm highly recommending to all of you to really understand these principles in today's language, in today's relationships, in today's world. Okay, so Vicki, let's keep talking about what we can do to affect a change in the yang dominance in our world today.
Okay, I think the first thing is we have to acknowledge it is yang dominant. Many people don't understand, they don't get that a patriarchy manifests masculine principles, the yang principles, and they don't understand. I mean, really, most people think, as we said earlier, it's normal to want to win. And if you think about it, in a patriarchy, compromise is a bad thing. That means you didn't win. Women and the feminine principle believe compromise is an exceedingly worthy goal. So that's one example of how we just don't get what we're doing. So I think it's important first and foremost to admit we're a patriarchy, and we've been told we're a patriarchy, and from children say, okay, fine, we're a patriarchy. They don't even question it. I think it's time to question it and say, why are we a patriarchy? Why aren't we balanced? And there are a lot of amazing women and men writing about this now. In fact, on my website for the Goddess Letters, which is www.thegoddessletters.com, there is a list of 97 books that I use to research what went into the Goddess Letters. So even though it's a novel and it's fiction, it is based on hard, cold fact. And anybody that would like to see that list of 97 books can just go to that website. It's there under a tab that's called Important Books. I think it's time to just raise some questions and say, why is it okay to be a patriarchy?
Yeah. You know, patriarchy is equivalent to democracy. I was just thinking that when you were saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, we accept that as, oh, this is the democratic way.
And it's so not.
It's so not. You know,
it is.
Like we deem that as normal because.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that to me is the first thing we have to do. We have to not as, you know, if, we don't want to be men haters. We're not saying we're men haters. In fact, when I first started talking about this book and that this book was coming out, a very good friend of mine who is a male posted on his Facebook page that he was excited about this book and he thought it was going to make a difference. And one of his fans instantly wrote in and said, well, she's just a man hater. It's like, no, this is, I like men. This is not about being a man hater. This is about just saying the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. Why is it okay to be a patriarchy? Look what 2,500 years of patriarchy have landed us. We are out of balance. We risk extinction. It's time to say, is that the best way? And of course, I believe the answer to that is no, that we need to be balanced. And there is good news coming from around the planet. I mean, more and more people are questioning, well, why is it okay to be a patriarchy? And at least acknowledging the imbalance. Iceland, for example, there are countries like Iceland that are saying major important committees have to be half women.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling for that. There's some of the committees in Britain, even in government, some of the Scandinavian countries are requiring that there be female representation. So I think that just shows that at some subconscious level, people are starting to get that we're out of balance and that the feminine voice isn't being heard and the feminine voice isn't being allowed to bring forth what it more naturally brings forth. We talk a lot about that in my book, that there are natural aspects, whether it's caring about what's for the greater good, putting an emphasis on relationships over individual conquest, maybe wanting to experiment with more feminine aspects of divinity and worship. Those are things that are inherently natural to women if they let themselves go there. But if you live in a patriarchy, you know, having an intuitive hit on something could be the whispering of the devil. Worrying about a relationship is for sissies. When, you know, you should be getting ahead. Do the manly thing. So it's a difficult mm-hmm. journey, but I think it's something that we are seeing happen.
Yeah, and we, you know, really a lot of our language is responsible for.
Oh my heavens! Yes, you know, if you war. And violence is a natural outgrowth of out of balance masculine principle. Mm-hmm. The masculine principle at its best, it goes for safety, protection and safety. But it's out of balance will go to violence. I mean, watch little boys play.
Yeah.
Little boys are quick to punch somebody. Little girls are more like, okay, let's play dolls. You be the daddy, I'll be the mommy, and we'll all have brownies. And I'm not saying that little girls aren't obnoxious sometimes too, but I am saying that the natural tendency, some of which is very much hormonally driven and based on brain structure between the two sexes, it's still, we tend to manifest more of an out-of-balance masculine principle.
Mm. As a whole group.
As a culture.
Yeah.
And you see that that's held in place by a patriarchy because we accept it as normal.
Yeah. Okay, so how are we going to try to balance?
Well, I think what will be the easiest is first and foremost acknowledge that maybe being a patriarchy isn't the best thing in the world. To look at ways to bring women more into play. When we were trying to get the vote back in the 20s, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton were the two people who were the most vocal in terms of women having the right to vote. And the reason they went for the vote was that you cannot have rights in a culture if you don't have the right to say who creates those rights. So that's why voting was so important for them, is that women had to have the right to vote so that they could be involved in creating the culture. I think we're looking at a very similar situation here. Women need to step up and bring what they inherently bring in themselves. And I do. There's a lot of talk about what that is, what that looks like in the book, The Goddess Letters. And if women were more involved in the politics, in the laws, in the legislation, so that there was a feminine voice, not men in skirts, which is what a lot of women have had to be to succeed in a patriarchy, actually stepping forward and honoring their intuitive wisdom, their intuitive knowing, and that will make a difference. I mean, the legislation, the government will look different if women step up. So one of the things that we talk about in the book is the importance of women stepping up and letting their voice be heard. In fact, my husband and I, to publish this book, created a publishing company called Missing Voice Publications to try and bring that missing voice out to the world.
Oh, wonderful. That's so wonderful. Wow.
I think it's important. We've dismissed the feminine voice and the feminine principle for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And I think that's what's going to make a difference, is if we come to a state of balance. Remember when we were talking about yin and yang, what balances each is the other. So if there's too much yin, it is yang coming in and destroying some yin to create balance. If there's too much yang, it's yin coming in and creating the balance. Women have not stepped up, because it's been very, very difficult, the way that they could to balance the yang. So the way that we're going to balance a patriarchy is for there to be more yin, more feminine principle, more intuitive wisdom, more heart, more compassion. You name it, they're all aspects of the feminine principle.
Right. And just like in the body or in the energy systems, you can't be healthy unless you have a balance of both.
In fact, you cannot, yin cannot exist forever without yang. Yang cannot exist without yin. Just like the whole isn't the whole without both of them, neither of them can exist without the other. And we are dancing dangerously close to what happens when there isn't enough yin.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think definitely in our corporate world, it's way out of balance.
It is way out of balance, and corporations, more than any other manifestation on our culture, they're governed by patriarchal principles. You know, the getting ahead, the
success,
takeover, success, material success. The yin principle doesn't have anything against success. It just defines success very differently.
Exactly. Yeah, very different principles.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, we go into a lot of that in the book in hopefully a light, fun way. It's not a sloggy book.
Well, it's very creative to do it in letters, because you can you can bring out all these discussion points.
Right.
By, you know, and just a new letter, a new day, a new insight.
A new adventure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a very private situation between these two. And yet they're living in the world. I mean, it starts in the mid 70s and ends in the mid 90s. And they go through all the things that happened during that time, the Challenger disaster. Everything is mirrored in their lives and how they reflect it and move forward with it.
Beautiful. So let's talk about, like, envisioning a culture or society that's balance between yin and yang. Do you see any culture that is heading that way, or is more that way, or is there yet?
I'm sorry. No, there is not a matriarchal culture on this planet right now. There are cultures that are waking up and acknowledging the need. Like I said, the cultures that are starting to mandate a feminine presence in equal ways and equality on committees or things like that. But if look at our political systems in this country, women are woefully underrepresented. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's, for people that supposedly have equality, even though we don't have an equal rights amendment, we don't have representation. We really don't. So I think there isn't a culture to look at. But people can read about Minoan Crete and what made that such an amazing culture. We talk about that in the book. And that would be something to manifest. I think we can look at including nature. We can look at a sense of sacredness. Instead of it all being mundane and, you know, how much money you can make, and I'm not saying people should be starving or poor, but find the sacred in life, because a patriarchy tends not to have sacredness. It has religion, but the sacredness of it doesn't manifest in a feminine way. We'll just say that. I think that the more that we start caring about each other, and all the beings that make up citizens of this planet, not just humans, that will be a really good sign that things are moving toward a state of balance. When we emphasize inner accomplishments and celebrate that as much as outer accomplishment, when quiet time is normal, when someone can say, I don't know, but I just have a really strong hunch, and they don't get laughed out of a boardroom. I mean, I can't imagine a boardroom yet where someone could say, my gut is that we need to do this, and people would say, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
your rational justification for what you do, but there is so much wisdom that comes from the heart and the soul, and those come through more as, you know, gut hunches or hits or intuition, and we need to accept that because we're missing in a huge piece of wisdom that would be, we would be making a big difference if we would even go with something like that. If we emphasized cooperation instead of competition, I think that that's something that we would see as a big hallmark of change, and simply acknowledge compromises to be desired. It's not a sissy that wimped out and compromised. I mean, these are just, in fact, if our language, you spoke about our language, oh my gosh, if we could, instead of saying, using words of war or aggression, if we used words of cooperation and coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So just our languaging, how we language things, that's something that's real important in energy medicine, is paying attention to how we language things. If we did that, that would start making a difference. It's, these are all aspects that I think we absolutely have to start doing, or he's right. 30 years from now, there may not be any fish in the sea.
Right. Okay, so we only have a minute left. Let's tell people how they can buy this book, The Goddess Letters.
They can buy the book two ways. One of them, the easiest, is to go to www.thegoddessletters.com. On the homepage is a beautiful picture of the cover of this book, which my sister Cindy Cohn designed. It's gorgeous. And they can click and go right to Amazon, to that page on Amazon. It's an ebook right now. And in 2 weeks, there will also be a print copy that will be available. So for people that don't have e-readers, they'll be able to buy it in 2 weeks as a print book, a paperback as well. And it's on Amazon, and it's, you know, Amazon's easy to use.
Absolutely.
I would strongly appreciate anybody that would be willing to read this book and give it a review. I would be grateful.
Oh, great. Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
So let me just tell everybody, I think this is a perfect example of what we talked about today, that we need more yin energy in our world, in our lives, in our families, and this is how we live radiantly, in balance with nature and with the world and with each other. And when we accomplish that, we really can be living with our hearts, in balance with what's in our minds and our brains, and we can be living a life at a much higher potential. And this is what we need, and this is what the world needs. Thank you, Vicki, for this wonderful discussion, and thank you for this book to bring out these concepts to the world.
Thank you, Anne. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Until next time, live radiantly.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Anne Dietley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.